Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Father, you gave the Holy Spirit to be the power of our lives together as the church. Now upon us, bring that very same power and proclaim and witness to build the church. We pray in the Son's name, Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen. I'd like to take you a little on a journey this morning to grow your understanding of the Word of God and the reality of the events that were written about in the Word of God. Acts chapter 2. Where is the location? Where are the disciples this morning that these events are taking place? Is it in the upper room? Is that your answer? Or would you be willing to consider a different place and allow me to show you at that different place? Acts chapter 1 has the disciples returning to the room they were staying in after the ascension of Jesus. And there they chose Matthias to replace Judas. Matthias, according to Acts chapter 1, verse 21, was with the disciples the whole time Jesus was teaching and instructing the 12. Acts chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time. That's Peter speaking. With us the whole time the Lord went in and out among us. It would seem that Matthias was well acquainted with what Jesus taught and was thus qualified to take the place of Judas and be an apostle. Acts chapter 1, verse 26. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. Following verse 26 of Acts chapter 1, there is a hard break. The events of chapter 1 do not flow directly into Acts chapter 2. A period of time has passed, and the location has changed. The Greek syntax of Acts chapter 2, it reflects a Hebraic style of narrative. It's a narrative break. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came. That way it's phrased, it separates what follows from what was written before. By beginning Acts chapter 2, this manner, Luke is signifying a change in time and a change in location from Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. We know the disciples were all together. That's what they have been doing. But what is the place they were all together in? Following another Hebraic-style idiom, you find that word house. That word house. But don't be too quick to assume this is a home of a person. Think about being Hebrew. Think about how they think and the words that they would use when you're speaking of the house. Take a guess at what you're speaking about when you say the house. Luke, keeping in the way that Hebrews would understand and think, the word house means the temple of the Lord. The house of the Lord. That's how they would call the temple. They'd say, the house of the Lord. Acts chapter 2 is taking place on the Temple Mount in the house of the Lord. It's at the temple. Luke concluded his first book to Theophilus, Luke chapter 24, verses 51 through 53, with this words for us. While he, that's Jesus, was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. So after Jesus ascended, the disciples were regularly meeting in the temple. And now the Jewish festival, the Feast of Weeks, also known as Pentecost, has now come. And the disciples more than likely would have participated in the pilgrim festival. And this makes sense because the place they were surrounded with such a variety of pilgrims. They were from all over the place. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, parts of Libya and Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. This feast is one of the three great feasts that all Jewish males are commanded to appear before the Lord for this solemn feast. The place they appear before the Lord is in the house of the Lord. And they bring the first fruits of the wheat harvest. So Jerusalem at this time has been swelling to its seams with tens of thousands of pilgrims coming to the house of the Lord from all over the place. This is the setting. The house of the Lord, surrounded by tens of thousands of pilgrims, when you hear Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and come to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Do loud sounds bring you out of your house? Do violent winds make you look outside and see what's going on? Do you remember several weeks ago, all of a sudden you heard these loud fighter jets flying over this area? And it wasn't just a passerby flying jet. I mean, it was vroom, vroom, vroom. I mean, they were going vroom, vroom. You know, it took my attention. I had to go out of my house and take a look. I looked up to the sky and I'm just watching the plane circling and crisscrossing. And then I look up and down the street and boy, it brought everybody else out of their own houses. What is going on? Well, the F-16s were doing maneuvers right over our houses at about 1,000 feet or less. I mean, it was loud. Maybe some of you remember that. I mean, it was just... It's marvelous to see those planes flying. I mean, it brought our attention. So we saw these F-16s maneuvering, and I looked up and down the street, out of the house, out of the house, out of the house, all looking to the sky. So here in the house of the Lord, you hear this sound. Of course it's going to get your attention. And then the tongues of fire, it draws their attention. As those things draw our attention, wind and noise draws our attention. Wind and noise, a violent wind came. And then what appears to be fire comes and separates out on little bits of fire that sat upon each disciple. You know, and those little bits of fire, they looked like they were in the shape of a tongue. You know, a human tongue wiggling and wagging and dancing on each one of those disciples. So the crowd's attention turns to this commotion, and to their bewilderment, these Jewish Galileans are speaking in all these various tongues. And yes, there is a word play here in the Greek. The Greek word for tongue is glossa. Glossa. And so if you really want to hear it, so a glossa of fire sat upon the disciples, and the disciples began to speak in other glossa. That's verses 3 and 4. So glossa of fire sat on their head, and they began to speak in other glossa. As the Spirit gave them the ability to speak. Here you have a visible manifestation of God, the Holy Spirit. So I take you back to the tabernacle that Moses was instructed to build. When all was done and set up, listen to what took place. Exodus chapter 40, verses 34 and 35. It's the first time the tabernacle was set up according to God's instructions to Moses. It's up and it's set in place. The Ark of the Covenant is moved into the Holy of Holies. The curtain's drawn, all set. Then the cloud covered the tent of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Moses could not enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled upon it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. that pillar of cloud has now settled on the tabernacle. Do you recall what that pillar of cloud looks like? Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. The presence of God in cloud and fire. Just like on top of Mount Sinai, cloud and fire. I take you now to Solomon, dedicating the first temple that Solomon built. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces on the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, He is good. His love endures forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices to the Lord. As described in Exodus 40, there was fire and the presence of the Lord filled the tabernacle. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, there is fire and the presence of the Lord filled the temple. Now described in Acts 2, there is fire and the presence of the Lord in a very visible manifestation has now settled on a group of people. Settled on a group of people, not in the temple, but on the group of people. Not all the pilgrims that were gathered there, a particular small group of people compared to all the tens of thousands of pilgrims gathered for this second of the three great feasts. And it's a group of Galileans at the center of the commotion. Something huge has taken place. The very presence of the Lord God is now in the followers of Jesus Christ, the risen and ascended Lord, just as Jesus promised. It's not in the temple. It's now in the believers, the followers of Jesus Christ, the risen and ascended Lord, just as Jesus promised. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, He will testify about Me. And you also must testify, for you have been with Me from the beginning. And then you have Luke chapter 24, verse 49. I'm going to send you what My Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. And that is what's now taking place. That clothed with power from on high is seen as little tongues of fire. Fire, the very presence of God. Hearing the wonders of God declared in their own tongues, the people were amazed, and at the same time, they're perplexed. I mean, if I was there, I'd go, what's going on? They're perplexed, and some of them asked, well, what does this mean? What's going on? What does this mean? And you could just hear it going through the crowd, and then some, however, said, they've had too much to drink. They're drunk with that new wine. And Peter stands up. And he stands up, and the 11 are around him, and he raises his voice and begins to preach. Acts chapter 2, starting at 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. These men are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. And then Peter goes on, rather, this is the fulfillment of Scripture, the fulfillment of the prophet Joel. And Peter begins quoting from prophet Joel, which is chapter 2. And it's starting at verse 28, chapter 2 of Joel. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And Peter continues quoting from Joel chapter 2 and concludes with this very powerful truth from Joel chapter 2, and it's verse 32. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. For on Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, there will be deliverance, as you yourselves know. As the Lord had said, call on the name. So Peter, now clothed with power from on high, quoting the Old Testament, the Scriptures, the Joel, what we call the Old Testament, but the Hebrew is known as the Scriptures. Quoting them, Peter then turns to the people and say, men of Israel, Acts chapter 2, verse 22, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. Meaning several of those people around in that crowd of tens of thousands, they had seen and known what Jesus had done. Peter reminds them of Jesus and how wicked men put him to death, nailing Jesus to the cross. But God raised Jesus from the dead. And Peter then brings in King David and reminds them of King David. He states, they, he, and others with him were all eyewitnesses. Jesus rose from the dead. Acts chapter 2, verse 32. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Then Peter powerfully concludes, therefore let all Israel be assured of this, God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Clothed in power from on high, with the coming of God the Holy Spirit, Peter preached and the people responded. Acts chapter 2, verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter answers, repent and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Peter continued with many more words of warning, but they're not recorded in Acts 2. It just says Peter continued with words of warning and pleading for them. About 3,000 repented and were baptized. Now, on the southern and southwest portions of the temple area, there were ritual pools of water for pilgrims to be able to ritually wash themselves before entering the temple for the feast. Very likely, this water was available for these baptisms. There's virtually no other place in Jerusalem to accommodate that large a number of people, nearly 3,000 that were added to the disciples that day, other than this place that has lots of water for these tens of thousands of pilgrims who have come to the house of the Lord. Put this together in your heart. The coming of the Holy Spirit happening in a very public place, the center of the Jewish worship life, the temple, the house of the Lord. And what they're celebrating on that day is the first fruits of the harvest of wheat. You bring your first and very best. And that's where the first harvest of believers happens. And that's when the first harvest happens. The celebration of first fruits at the temple, the house of the Lord, is the day we see the first fruits of preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit as Peter preaches to the pilgrims, and about 3,000 were added to their numbers. About 3,000 believe Jesus is the Christ. What does this mean? Did any of you get up yesterday and watch the wedding? Did you pay attention to it? Did you listen all the way through it? You know, there was a wedding in England yesterday, a royal wedding, and the major networks were providing nonstop coverage. A sermon was preached by the Episcopalian Bishop Curry. Very dynamic, very animated in his speaking, scarcely looking at the tablet that was before him as he preached. He quoted Martin Luther King Jr. many times about the redemptive power of love. The redemptive power of love. That redemptive love. And preaching on the power of that love to change the situation, to change people, to change the world. A little while later, the networks then commentated on that word love. But if you listen to them and their commentary on the word love, they missed the most important part. That word redemptive. The way they were using love was their definition. It was not redemptive love, which comes only through Jesus Christ, the risen one. The disciples carried their eyewitness testimony of the redemptive love of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, and it changed the world. That redemptive love will change the world this day too. The network commentators just did not hear the full reality of the gospel of Jesus Christ in that word redemptive love. They don't know. But you know. You are eyewitnesses now of the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. It is Christ crucified, Christ risen, that changes a heart through the power of forgiveness of sins. Therefore, Peter's reply to the people when they said, "What must we do?" Peter's reply was most appropriate. Repent. And be baptized. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you will receive the Holy Spirit. At 9 a.m, the Holy Spirit came. The church was born. And you, through the waters of baptism, have been redeemed. And the Holy Spirit, the living presence of God, lives in you for the purpose and power of building the church of Jesus Christ. Go and be a witness. Simply tell the story how Christ's redemptive love changed your life. And that redemptive love will change that person's life just as powerfully, if not more powerfully. Don't be afraid. You are clothed with power from on high, for you have been given the promise of the Holy Spirit. 9 a.m. those years ago changed everything. The power and presence of God is no longer in the temple. The power and presence of God is now in the people of God. And the people of God make up the church, the body of Christ. A huge thing happened at 9 a.m. And now may even a huge thing happen here in your life at 10:06. What was that? 11:06. I need new glasses. 11:06 a.m. May you be changed. As you know, the power of the Holy Spirit is in you for the purpose of building the church. Go and share Jesus. Just as the disciples did. Because the very power they had is in you. Just as Jesus promised. Amen. and amen.